we began a new series last week about God being on the move. The second lesson in this series involves God on the move through divine inspiration. As we saw last week, God rested from his work of creation on the seventh day. But he continued to work in many marvelous ways thereafter. In 2 Peter 1, and I'd encourage you to open your Bibles there, if you would, to page 1984 in the Pew Bibles, if you're going to be using those. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, we have Peter telling us something that's very, very important and we want to focus on today. He says, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Carried along. Many other translations, the King James Version, the American Standard Version, the New Living Translation, they render that last phrase in the verse this way: "The men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Greek term here is phero. Maybe you've heard of the idea of pheromones and the idea that a smell or a scent can actually move you in one way or another. Might repel you, might actually draw you close, but it moves you. And that's the idea of this word that's used here. But in the Greek culture, the first century, it was most often used to describe a ship carried along by the current or propelled by the gust of wind. And that's why, again, the NIV chooses that term, as they were carried along. Specifically, this passage refers to someone being moved inwardly, prompted by the very Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God that hovered over the deep in creation hovers over those he wishes to inspire. He wishes to move with his word. So from day one, or maybe I should say day six, God has been on the move in delivering his divine revelation to people. Now, there's been a lot of debate, you know, a lot of discussion exactly about how God might have done this. How did he really move the people? How was he inspiring them? Some believe he dictated what the prophets were to say and write. And they did exactly that. Word for word, phrase for phrase, they said or wrote down what he told them to say or write. Still, in the process of that, he put thoughts and ideas in their minds and hearts, but gave them liberty in some regard to choose how best to convey those thoughts, those ideas. Even then, of course, the Holy Spirit guiding them in the process and even editing their messages as they were relayed. Kind of like a divine spell check or autocorrect, which could not be overridden by the prophet. The word was given. They spoke it, but sometimes in the exact words evidently he gave them, sometimes in allowing them to choose words that he would still edit and override. Let me tell you what I believe about this. I believe with all my heart that the original manuscripts were without error. They were infallible. God speaking directly to and through the people, so that what was written down and what we now call the Bible, it was without error, perfect. Most of the prophets, most of the people that God spoke through or spoke to, were similar to a micro or megaphone. They were merely tools in the hands of God to project his message. Yes, he allowed, even intentionally used, it appears, individual personalities to relay the message, but still he was controlling that. It wasn't their words necessarily. It was his. The Holy Spirit moved them, guided them in their choices of what to say. And that kind of seems inconsistent maybe to us, because we have a hard time understanding how the Spirit of God could in one and the same action provide the very words of Scripture and still accommodate himself to the linguistic, you know, peculiarities and the total personality of an individual writer. But that seems to be precisely what he did. God's Spirit so pervaded the mind of the human writer that he chose out of his own vocabulary, his own experience, sometimes out of his own culture, precisely the words, thoughts, and expressions that God wanted him to convey. So God somehow using that person in their culture with what they had, their experience, still to communicate what he wanted them to say. God's word. The phrases, "thus saith the Lord," or "God said," occur around 450 times in the Old Testament. I think there's a message we're supposed to get there, is that God was speaking, God was saying things to the prophets and then through the prophets. There are also numerous times we read phrases like "the Lord proclaimed," or "the Lord declared," or "the Lord again pronounced," and the idea of the Spirit of the Lord speaking. So even though there were men being used as tools and instruments of God to communicate, God was speaking through them. He was using men, and he was sometimes using the pen to get his message through the people. He was on the move doing that, moving people. In the New Testament, there are some pretty significant statements about that as well. Here are just a few. In Matthew 4, verse 4, we have recorded that when referring to Scripture in context, Jesus himself said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's Jesus who says that. Notice that. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he's referring to Scripture. Matter of fact, later on, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, would say, "All Scripture is God-breathed." Get that. "From the mouth of God, and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So Jesus and Paul are saying the Scripture is God-breathed. It's from the mouth of God. It's God talking. It's God speaking. It's God communicating. And he moved people to be the vessels for that communication to take place. Hebrews chapter 1, first two verses tells us, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers." So the prophets, at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Notice that. God spoke. He spoke. It says in many different ways he did that. It wasn't always a cookie-cutter fashion in which he communicated, but he communicated. He spoke. His word delivered. Jesus promised his followers in John 16, 12 and 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak," notice that, "on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you things even that are to come." Jesus was promising that to his apostles, and they would also promise the ones that they taught, the disciples that would follow them, that the Spirit would be with them, that the Spirit would speak to them, communicate to them. And even in one place, Jesus says, "Bring to remembrance the things that he had said." Galatians 1, verse 12, Paul had this to say, "I did not receive this gospel from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul is saying, listen, what I write and what I say to you, it's not my own words. It's not what I'm making up. It's just not what I feel or what I think. It's God's word. This is Jesus Christ revealing to you through me his wishes, his will, his word. So understanding exactly how God moved the prophets, the apostles, the other writers of the Bible to relay his word and will is not nearly as important as simply accepting the fact and getting this straight. He did, in fact, move them, spoke to them, through them. It's his word. Exactly how he did that in every instance, we could discuss that. We talk about that. But the finished product, what we have, is his word, what he wanted to communicate. He moved them to write the original manuscripts. What we have available to us today are handwritten copies of those documents or printed copies of those documents. By God's grace, we can hold in our hands, though, very reliable copies, translations of those holy scriptures. Now listen, I'm not claiming that our translations are without fault. The original manuscripts, yes, absolutely. But as I hear so many times, people say, well, yeah, but haven't they been copied and copied and translated into so many different languages? Can we even be sure that the word I have here really is the word from God? That was God's spoken word. That was God's moving prophets and moving people through his own voice, through his own word. But how about this? People have doubts about it. But I want to assure you of something. In Jeremiah 29:13, God said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That wasn't just for a short period of time. That's throughout eternity. If you seek him with all your heart, sincerely, with devotion, you'll find him. Hold on to that. Jesus also said in Mark 13:31, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Now, he wasn't talking about the King James Version, the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, the ESV, the RSV, or any other V. He wasn't. He wasn't even evidently referring to the original manuscripts, because we don't have them. They've evidently passed away. We don't have them. We have copies of them. Many copies of them that agree and give us testimony that they are accurate copies of those original. But he wasn't even talking about the original manuscripts. What was he talking about? I believe he was telling us that the integrity of God's word will be preserved forever. That there may be different translations we'll have that vary somewhat, but guess what? The integrity of his word will be preserved forever. How do I know that? Jesus said so. He said so. What God wants for you to know will always be available for you to know if you want to know it. See, that seems to be the issue. Do you want to know it? Do you really seek to know God and his wishes for you? That's the issue. So many people are looking for excuses and saying, well, I can't know God. I can't possibly know what he wants for my life. I can't trust. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Jesus promised you could. This book contains the very words of God. Other books may quote from it, but the sum total of his recorded revelation to mankind is in this book. It tells us about God. In it, we often find God telling us directly about himself. Much of it's a historical record of his intervention in this world and his interaction with humanity. But it's all of value as we grow to understand God and his desires and wills. And we see who he is and what he cares about. And we see something more too, because this book also tells us a lot about us. Who we are. What God thinks about us. And what he plans for our future. Several years ago, I was studying with a young man. It was actually began in premarital counseling and led to a deeper study. And he told me, he says, you know what, I hear what you're saying and so much of what you've been sharing with us and counseling, and it all makes sense, you know, and yeah, I get it. He says, but I just don't understand why I need to read this book. I don't understand why I need to study this book. I don't see the value, especially when I've heard those things again about, is it reliable? I'd learned earlier as we were growing in our relationship and as we were planning for the wedding that his father had been killed in Vietnam when he was about 5. And it left a gaping hole in his heart. And I was moved. With that knowledge and what he was saying, and I believe the Holy Spirit moved me to do it, I asked him, what if you found an old trunk in your grandma's attic that belonged to your dad? And inside was a high school yearbook and even a journal that your dad had kept. I said, would you have any interest in reading those books? Would you have any interest in, you know, looking to see what your father was involved in, you know, young his life, what his thoughts were, where his heart was? Would you care to do that? And he said, well, yeah. I said, what if there was a bundle of love letters in it to your mother sent from Nam? Would you want to read them? Would you be interested in reading what he thought about your mother and you? He said, sure. So what if there were family pictures in there of your dad? And some of them, especially with him and you, maybe holding you on his lap, reading to you, or holding you as a baby, or playing catch. Would you be interested in seeing those? Tear came up his eye. And I said, what if there was a personal message, a sealed envelope addressed to you to be opened on your 21st birthday? Would you have any interest in opening that, reading it, seeing what was so important that your dad preserved it for you? It didn't surprise me. They said, of course he would. And he'd want to read it more than once. And the pictures he would cherish, he'd probably frame, look at often. And then I was moved to tell him, as I'm moved to tell you today, your Father in heaven has left you a whole treasure chest of journals and letters and snapshots. They're all right here. He intended for you to know him through them. He intended for you to know his heart, his desires for you. He wanted you to know how much he loved you and cared about you and wanted the best for you. We open up this chest. We let him help you understand the deep truths about him and what he desires in relationship with you, about his love, about his plans. I'm pleased to tell you that he was ready to open the book. And before I united with his wife in marriage, I united with Christ in baptism. Praise be to God. God is on the move, folks. He was on the move in inspiration, and he's on the move now in us understanding and comprehending and getting the benefit of that inspiration. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is on page 1773 in your Bibles, if you'd care to read along. I'll pick up in verse 9. The Apostle Paul, again, writing. I'll give you a moment to get there. This is powerful. This is from God, conveying to us He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We'll just rest there a minute. You cannot know how much God loves you, how much he has a plan for you, what his desires and purposes are for you, unless you let him speak to you. You can't discern it. You can't possibly conceive it. Not just with human wisdom. Not with human education. It has to be the Spirit of God speaking to you through his word. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. Then he says, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. See, why has God given us the Spirit? Yes, to lead us and guide us, to be an assurance again that we are children of God. But so often we miss this. We've been given the Spirit of God so that we can know how much God loves us, so we can discern and understand his word to us. What he's freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, he says. Expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. I have been moved in my life by other pieces of literature, as well as by songs and movies. Especially true, however, if they have a spiritual theme. My heart has really been touched, and I've been moved to tears by some of the stories I've read, some of the books I've read that have that spiritual theme that help to convey God's love and his wishes for me. Sometimes even by poetry, many times by songs. Moved to tears. But you know, on the other extreme, though, there are times when I've been brought to just almost laughing aloud. When I hear of how much God puts up with me, and I read sometimes in God's Word, and I see what it says about me, and I say, yeah, you got me pegged. Yeah, I can't. But then the joy to my heart, when he says, but I still love you. I still love you. I care about you so deeply. Yes, I want better things for you. My heart is touched and I'm moved. I've been moved at times to feel righteous indignation at injustices. Maybe you have too. And often I fall under deep conviction. God's word has the ability to move me. Whether I'm reading it, hearing it, singing along the words, the themes from it, or whether someone is just speaking to me and they don't even realize it, they're confirming to me a truth that I know and just need to be reminded about. But you know what? When God's word moves me, it doesn't just move me to feel something. It moves me to do something. For not only does the Spirit of God move to inspire the writers, he moves still today to inspire the readers and the hearers. I'm not alone. I know many of you. All of you, I hope, at some time or another have been moved by God's Word. I don't have any special gift to be moved by God's Word other than the Holy Spirit. I have him, and if you're a born-again believer, you have him too. So you have the gift already given to you to be able to discern and be moved by God's Word. Now, I may have a gift to teach or to preach, to proclaim that truth. But you have a gift to discern it, to understand it, to receive it, to accept it, to be moved by it. And that gift is the Holy Spirit of God moving in you. I do believe that many believers don't recognize that gift and don't appreciate that gift. What I would ask you to do is do what I do. And I'm not saying I'm the example. I'm just telling you this works for me because the Holy Spirit works in me. Before I open this book, I pray. I thank God for inspiring, moving people to proclaim His Word, to write His Word, for the Holy Spirit preserving His Word throughout the centuries, for giving me His Word, and for the Holy Spirit within me to help me discern it and apply it. And then I ask Him, Lord, do that. Do that. Move me. Move me with Your words. I think we've lost a sense, many people have, of the awe that we should be in the presence of the Word of God when it's open, when it's read, when it's shared. We should be like Moses and be reminded that we're on holy ground when God speaks. When God speaks to us, it's holy ground, and we need to understand that. What a privilege for God to reveal Himself to us, to offer Himself to us, to speak to us. We should not ever take that lightly. Let's get practical. What has God been moving you to do that you haven't moved yet to do? What is it that you're hearing, you're receiving, this repeated message that keeps coming to your heart and your mind whenever God's Word is shared, whether through personal reading again, messages you hear, songs that are sung, or once again, someone just speaking to you, and without them even knowing it, saying something, and you say, there it is again. What is it? Maybe He's moving you to stand up and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the very first time. Maybe He's moving you to spend more time with Him in prayer on His Word. Maybe He's moving you to be united with Christ in baptism. And you've heard that, you know that, but you've been putting that off. Maybe He's moving you to be the husband or the wife that He's called you to be, that you know you're supposed to be, that His Word instructs you to be. But maybe you've just said, well, but I can never be that, God, so I excuse myself. No, if He's moving you to be that, He will equip you to be that. He promises that. Maybe He's moving to be the mother or the father that your children so desperately need. Maybe He's moving you to be a better son or a daughter or a friend or a neighbor. Maybe He's moving you to reach out to someone that you know is hurting and you've just been hesitant to do that. You see, the Spirit of God will not only move us when we read the Word, move us with the Word, but He will bring that back to our remembrance in those times. And when you feel the Spirit moving you, move. Don't ignore it. Don't neglect it. Because when we do, and we do it continually, we can become dull. We can become calloused and insensitive. And it's not that He'll give up, but our ears can start tuning Him out. Our hearts can start shutting Him out. Maybe He's moving you today to forgive somebody. He's been moving you for a long time to do it, but you just, I can't do it. He's moving you to take some steps in that direction. Maybe He's moving you to ask someone else for forgiveness. But you've wronged them, you've hurt them, you know it. And there's distance between you now, but you know that bridge back could be just with the beginning of, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I blew it. And I don't like the way things are. I miss you. I want this to be restored. Maybe he's moving you to walk away from something. Some bad habit is controlling you. Maybe he's asking you to move away from some harmful relationship that's wearing you down and tearing you down and keeping you from being who you need to be, who he wants you to be. If any of that's the case or more, hear me. God is on the move, but he will not move you against your will. He will not move you around like a pawn on a chessboard. Instead, he moves within us to make the move we need to make. It will always be moving closer to him. It will always be a move we will not regret. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for the way you have moved throughout history to communicate to us your love, your grace, your mercy, your desire, your plan. And Father, for your preserving your words of truth for us even to this day. God, thank you for not giving up on us, for continuing to communicate. And Father, if there's anyone here today who is feeling moved by you, I pray, Father, that they will move to make whatever steps they need to make. Thank you, God, for your patience, for your guidance, for your truth. In Jesus' name.